in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be starting off today. Title is a good one: Judge Not Others. That's what they say. It's easy to say, but hard to do. That's a real tough one there. That can be so much. Paul is going into more discussion to the Christian workers. And we always have to understand that Christian workers are servants of God. Granted, there was multiple problems going on in this church at Corinth here. And what we're looking at today is the church seemed to esteem one minister over another. And we went into that a little bit as it's been through the first few chapters here. And how effective they were. They're judging the gifts of each minister, their ministries, and how effective they were. And Paul's saying, better think about that. They were comparing Paul, Apollos, Cephas. Cephas is Peter. And I got to thinking, here you have all these apostles. They've seen Christ. They've been with Christ. I would have loved to sit under them teaching. Any one of them. But they were comparing them against each other. Which one was more effective? And I'm thinking, oh boy. And it was interesting. And this has been, my goodness, I'll say 25 years ago at least, probably. And I was listening to a message by Pastor Raul Reese. He's out of Golden Springs down there in Diamond Bar. And he was talking about when he would go on a mission trip, or he would be missing from that Sunday for whatever reason. And I was listening to him, and he says, and the attendance would drop dramatically. And basically, he chewed out the congregation. He said, I don't care who's sitting in here. They're qualified to teach you. And that's what's happening here. Well, I'll listen to this one in Corinth and not that one so much. And that we got to watch that. We don't want to judge. Every teacher out there, Christian teacher, pastor, there's something really good that comes out of it. And it's you have to listen. And it always is. And so let's open this up and we'll read the verses we're looking at today. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of students that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment, for it's time before the Lord comes. Who will bring to light things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart? Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So Paul opens this up in this section. And granted, this is a letter. It's not written in chapters. It's done for us when it reads it. And so how is the church to regard the ministers? You know, as the congregations, how are they to regard the ministers? As servants of Christ. They're servants of Christ. Now, in this servants of Christ, we need to understand what Paul's telling this church. And he relates it to things that were going on right then. The actual word for servants here in the original Greek text means under rower. Under rower. Yeah, you got a puzzling look, huh? What's an under rower? Well, it's back in that time, the slaves that were in the belly of the ships and they were rowing. They were rowing, under rowers. And they only had one master, the captain of that ship, nobody else. They did what he said. And there was rows of them in there. They're just to move that ship wherever the master led it. And a lot of times, those masters may have been chained, or those slaves may have been chained. But we're talking about servants of Christ. And the slave down there doing this rowing serves the master and no one else. No one else. All ministers, all pastors are just one of many under rowers. That's what we are. And we're for the master, him. We do as he calls us to do. You know, it's interesting. I've had many people say, hey, you need a food ministry, or you need a clothing ministry, or you need this type of ministry. And I'll pray it. I do what the Lord tells me, because other churches, they've been called, they get people that are equipped to handle this or that, and that's the way it happens. So as believers, we're not to judge the under rowers, the ministers. Only the master is the judge. In other words, only God judges them. And I say again, judge not others. That's hard. Folks, we all can go into that tendency to do that. One other thing that I want to point out is that these ministers, they function as free slaves. We have that choice. And God does that. It's amazing. So when you look up, Paul's trying to tell him, he says, hey, it's me, it's Apollos, it's Peter. We're all here to serve you, to serve Christ. And I think it's a blessing here. And why? Because the word here says they are the stewards of the mysteries of God. Mysteries of God. Now, here, the word stewards is a different word in the Greek. So we understand there's two different words here. And this steward is like a house steward or an overseer of an estate. Different situation here. The position was always held by a slave, so we're still talking slave, and he was subject to the master. And he would manage the affairs of the whole household entrusted to him. So whether a minister is in charge of this church or that church or this church, he's instructed, you're overseeing that church, yet it's under you to handle it. He was in charge of all the other slaves. That's you guys, congregation. We're all slaves to Christ. But he was also a slave to the master, held accountable to that master. And I was going to read here, I guess. Find my note. See, here it is. In Genesis 6, and I'll read this for you, so that we have our Genesis, 39. It's talking about Joseph. Joseph was, remember, his brothers threw him in the ditch, and then the Egyptians pulled him out, and he became a slave. And then the head guy in Egypt made him in charge of everything. And I'll just read this from you, too. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, he's a slave. The Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended to him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all the hand. From the time that he made him overseer in house over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house of the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything. So Joseph's still a slave, but he's been in charge. And so that's what this scripture is talking about. He's been put in charge of a household. And Paul's trying to tell him that, hey, you're trying to separate between me, Paulos, Cephas. Don't do that. And I think that's important to us. So what is the minister a steward over? whatever church that God places him in, whatever ministry he's placed in, he's over that. And why? To share the mysteries of God. That is the number one thing for a pastor to do. Preach this word. Period. It is very important that we reveal the mysteries. The mystery is not hard to understand, but had been kept, we have to realize, been kept hidden and secret for a lot of years. The mystery of salvation, God had revealed in his word. And we do that. Put it for me, please, Romans 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. Teaching the word of God. It's actually, when we get into it in another scripture, it says, I am to equip the saints for ministry. Everyone in here, you're in a ministry. You should be. Some type, whatever that is. That could be on the job site. That could be where you work, with family, however you look at it. I'm to equip you. The way I equip you is the way God calls, through his word. And this is important, that it is the truths of God's word that I'm to equip you with. The truths were revealed to the apostles first. Okay, now, is there an apostle today? No. One of the main requirements for an apostle was you physically, literally had to see Jesus Christ. You had to be there. That was number one quality. You had to see him. See him on the cross. See him die. Put him in the grave. Well, what happens is, as we go through, God has made servants minister over God's household. And Paul's trying to explain him to this to the church. To proclaim the truth to the world. So if I'm proclaiming and giving understanding of God's word to you, then you are the go out and minister and share the message. Very simple. Share it. It is the truth of the cross of Christ. It's one of the easiest things to say, hey, God died for you. He sent his son. He died for you. He took your sins upon himself. And he died for you. And if you believe in him and trust in him and ask him into your life, you'll be saved. Saved from hell. You'll have eternal life. So believers are to be equipped, strong, that you go out and you share this. You share this simple message. Understand, it is the one, number one greatest message, the one, number one greatest blessing that has ever been given since mankind. Christ was crucified for you. It's the greatest message. Now, we can hand out messages on everything else. But that's it. It's Jesus Christ dying for us. And then what happens is Paul says, moreover, it is required of students that they be servants, that they be found faithful. What Paul tells us here, the servants handling God's truths are to be faithful. And ministers are to be faithful to their call. They're to be faithful to God. God called them, said, I'm going to have you do this. You're to be faithful to do that. And ministers are to proclaim the mysteries of God. Put it for me, 1 Thessalonians, please. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. What a minister shares, he's doing because God has told him to do that. It's not to make you feel warm and fuzzy and pleasy and all happy-go-lucky. You're to hear the word of God, period. Now, it's really easy, and I've shared this. Topical sermons are great. They're great. But you don't get the whole counsel of God. And what can happen is, as a preacher, you can start to preach on the things that you like to preach on and skip over others, because you may offend somebody. Hey, when you're offending somebody by the Word of God, it's their heart that's being penetrated by the Holy Spirit, period. And when you look at this, we need to understand that as we look at that. And stewards, ministers who have been made stewards, they're stewards for one purpose only: to be faithful to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to be faithful to Him, to do as He calls me to do, to go where He calls me to do, and to be faithful. And Paul says here, as he's talking about this even more, but with me, it is a very small thing. And I think that's, but to me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Paul says the approval or judgment by men means absolutely very little to him. So long as he shares, he does what God calls him to do, he's happy. He's completely happy. And I think this is so much. Man's judgment doesn't matter in the judgment of God. I don't answer to anybody except God. And that's any minister. We answer to God and God alone. It is the church here, and we see that when it talks about Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, that there were cliques that followed different ministers. There were cliques. And maybe they were being critical of other ministers. Like I say, how many would love to be sitting under those three guys now? My gosh. And maybe they're saying things that would break the hearts. Yeah, it does. But Paul says, I only answer to one: Jesus Christ, period. Period. And if you go through and you read the book of Acts, which is the beginning of the early church, and you see where Paul is beaten because he preached in Christ. He's stoned because he's preaching Christ. He's thrown out of cities because he's preaching Christ. If you went by man's judgment, you'd preach something that they would like and feel funny and really good about. But no, he preached what God called him to do. Now, as we look at this verse, God says that he refers to a human court. And we have to understand that a human court doesn't mean anything to ministers. We're only judged by one person, God, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last six words of this verse, every minister should really dwell on this and really take it into heart, and it's a hard thing to do. I do not even judge myself. Excuse me. We shouldn't judge ourselves, but we do. We do. And there's two problems that judgment, when we judge ourselves, can come out of that. One, to think too highly of yourself. Yeah. This leads to prideful. And the second thing is to think too lowly of yourself, which brings discouragement, extreme discouragement. It can put a lot of ministers into deep depression. And I think about that. The greatest news in the world we're trying to share, and people will turn away. They don't want to hear it. And you're sharing with them salvation, eternal life. And when you reject God, I know if they don't accept Christ, where they're going. And it's horrible. And you get depressed. This is what one of the most pastors do. And I can truthfully say, and you feel like you're failing at all times. I know a lot of pastors, in fact, I'll be meeting with some, I don't know, a week or so, 2 weeks, just for a one-day deal. And a lot of them have that same feeling of failure, failure, failure. We have this great news, bless you by all means, and people reject it. And we have to understand, and this is about judgment, and Paul's really going into this, is that Jesus is the only one who knows the heart of a person. Jesus knows your heart, I guarantee that. And he's the only one that can righteously judge anyone. And our motives need to be pure, as Jesus is pleased with us on that. And we got to keep that in focus. Paul does give a warning to all believers on this. Put it for me, please, Romans 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Oh my. Oh my. You know, and I can give you a simple example. And I know because I do it. You ever drive a car? Have anybody pull out in front of you or do something dumb and you go, I won't even make it a mile and I'll do the same thing. And God will, I'll go, oh my gosh, Lord, forgive me. And then I have to praise him. Why would he save somebody like me? He loves us. He truly does. Verses 4 and 5, for I'm not aware of anything against myself, Paul is saying, but I am not thereby acquitted if the Lord, it is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before time, before the Lord comes. Who will bring light to things hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart, that each one will receive his condemnation from God? The Lord's the only one who can judge man and his ministry. He's it, period. He's the final one. And I say that, even the minister can't judge his own ministry, or he shouldn't. Paul says, now, I think about Paul. He wrote 13 books or 13 letters of the New Testament. Probably could be one of the top, I don't know, three, two, greatest men of God there ever was. And it's interesting, if you read in Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And I always find that amazing, but he's telling us truthfully. He says, to his knowledge, he's been faithful, but he knows we fail at times. We truly fail at times. But it is only Jesus that gives us the approval. It's very nice to hear, oh, that was good, or this was it. We all like that, right? But when it comes from Jesus Christ, that's the only thing that matters, what he says. What he says. No man has the right to judge any other's ministry. And that's what this church here at Corinth was doing. They were judging somebody else's ministry. And I can see my failure at times of doing this. It cuts to the heart. I don't have the right to say anything. That's God's servants. Jesus is the only judge. And all of us have to understand. And I say, it's easy to say, don't judge others. But it's hard to do. But it is. And he says, don't pronounce judgment before it's time. Well, he's kind of leaping ahead to his second coming. Christ is coming back. He's coming back. And at that time, all believers will have their works examined. And they're going to have it before the judgment seat of Christ. All believers will have before the judgment of seat of Christ their works. Put up 2 Corinthians 5:10, please. For we must all, that's all of us, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. The evil will be burned up. It's not talking about salvation here for believers. It's talking about the works. What were our motives? What was our purpose? Our will, God, purity. So we should not judge anyone, especially don't judge other believers by all means. And have you noticed it's easy to judge non-believers when they're doing horrific things? Like when they murder or rape or kill. We could judge them really easy. Yeah, the government has the responsibility to handle that part, the criminal part. But for us, think back in your own life how easy it could have been if God's hand wasn't upon you to really not do right. I think about it, and God can turn things around that can happen, take the bad things that happen and can explode it for good. He did it with Joseph, as we talked. What a blessing that was. Charlie Kirk, who was just killed. Okay? The colleges are abuzz with Christianity. 30, over 100,000 now. High schools and colleges are setting up Turning Point in their schools. It's over 100,000. And I'm thinking, I guarantee you Charlie Kirk is jumping up and down. The colleges and the high school are going to be turning. God has used this horrible thing to turn it around. And I don't know if his wife truly understands it all. She does, because she's forgiven, but truly understand, or his kids. But it may take some time to see what God did in turning this country around by one man. What a blessing it is. What a blessing. Yeah. So we should not judge anyone, believers also. We're all in different stages of growth. We're all different. We want to lift each other. The Corinthians here, yeah, they were judging. And Paul is telling them, don't do that. Don't do that. And you know what? No believer, none of us know the hidden darknesses that are within a person. Nobody does. Only Jesus can bring those things to light. And I think about that. You know, we may struggle at times with different situations. You may struggle with pride, with anger, with alcohol, with drugs, whatever the case. I don't care what it is. Struggle with that. And we can't change that, but God can. God can change it. And I was thinking about a friend of mine that I worked with years ago. Gosh, when I was an apprentice, so that goes back at least 5 or 10 years. And I was sharing Christ with him. And he said, well, Greg, if I ask Christ in my life, can I still keep doing the things I want to do? Well, if you ask Christ in your life, you're going to follow him and do what he's telling you by reading his word and reading that. And at the time I thought about it, I go, well, like with him, or any of us, we can't change our minds or our hearts. God does it. When we say, God, come into my life, when we say, God, take my heart, he goes to work. We're saying, God, you go to work on me because I can't do it. And he starts to work on us. And it's him. And none of us know the hidden motives of any man. We really don't. We don't know motives why we do things. But Jesus can reveal the real motives of why we may do things. Because he knows the heart, he'll reveal the motives of the heart. Put it for me, Luke 12:2, please. Jesus is speaking. He says, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. The things we do, it's going to become known before Christ. That's why I will continue to say, give your heart to Christ. Let him start the work on it. Let him do what he can do and you can't. Work on our hearts, our motives, our actions, our words. You know, it's really easy. You could say, I have trouble cussing. Or I have trouble speaking my mind when I shouldn't. Okay? And yeah, that hit a chord. But it's God that can work on that. And you can say, Lord, help me. Help me. I want it. I give you my heart. Do this. And I think all of us, every single one need to check our motives with the Lord. Check our motives for the things that we're doing with the Lord. Put up Psalm 90, please. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. He knows our sins. He knows our iniquities. He knows them more than we do. And it's, you've said it there. Check my motives. Psalm 19. Who can discern his own errors? So who of you can? Declare me innocent from hidden faults, Lord. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lay it out before him. It's his. Lay it there and say, God, here's my problems. You know them. I'm asking for help. I want that help. And then it says that each one's going to receive this condemnation from God. We'll receive. If our motives are right in line with God, we're seeking God's will in our life. If our motives are right in line with God and our works, one of the greatest blessings in the world will happen. It says we receive praise from God. Why would God praise me? I don't know. But it says we'll receive praise from Him. The one who created everything, the one who gave up everything, gave up His Son for me. Why would I receive praise from Him? All the praise from man will not compare than the praise from God. And it hurts when you see people receiving all this praise from God and they don't know God and they don't want to know God. And I'll think, man, that is so short term. To hear the words, hear the words from God. This is the ones that I want more than all. And I've heard so many people say this, well done, good and faithful servant. Whatever He's called us to do, we did it to our best and what He called us to do. And we have to understand that as we go through times, we're going through struggles. We will go through struggles sometimes all the time. And I want us to understand that no matter what struggles we're going through or hard times or whatever, I'm talking anything, physical, healthy, money-wise, food-wise, all the different things. Whatever struggle's going through, it's only for a short time, folks. If we live to be 100 years old, everybody'd say, wow, that's incredible. But that's nothing compared to eternity. Put it for me, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul wrote that. The one who I just said had been stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, all the different things. A light momentary affliction. He can see eternity and what a blessing it is. So as you're going through things, judgment is a tough thing to stop. We can all, like, why'd that person do that? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, man, if I said that, I wouldn't even get to the back doors and I'd do it, whatever it is. And God would show me that instantly. So we got to watch that. And we want to be careful how we do. Don't judge. If a believer or somebody's doing something wrong, get down there with them and help them come out. If they're doing great, bless them. Whatever it is, we want to lift up others above us, ourselves. So let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to thank you and praise you for this time we've had, Lord, to study your word. Lord, to touch our hearts, to touch our minds. Lord, we do hand over our hearts. Lord, I praise you, God, and I'm asking, continue to work on our hearts that we may grow closer to you, Lord, closer to you. So I praise you and I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.